If you have your Bibles with you today, which I hope you do, let's turn to Matthew's chapter 5. Matthew's chapter 5, verse 14. I've been encouraging the church at the different groups that I've been going to buy a Bible. I want to encourage you to buy a Bible. Invest in a Bible. I know you got one on your phone, and that's cool. That's fine, but I want you to buy a Bible. Amen. And at this time, we'll dismiss the youth too. Amen. Amen. Matthew's chapter 5, verses 14. Matthew's chapter 5, verses 14. When everybody's there, say amen. We're going to read the scripture. Matthew's chapter 5, verse 14. Ready or not, here we go. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. How many know that God has transformed you into a light? The Lord, if you're a believer, has transformed you from darkness into light. Someone say, I'm a light bulb. Yes, God made you a light. Verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. God did not create us to be lights in order to hide us. God did not make you, transform you from darkness to light in order to put you in a corner whereby nobody can see you. God transformed your life, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, into a light so that he can place you in the midst of darkness so that he could shine his glory through your life. He didn't transform you into a light to hide you, but he transformed you into a light so that your life, your marriage, your family can reflect the glory of God in a dark world. I've been looking at the news the last couple weeks, and I'm realizing more and more that we're living in dark days. Anybody agree with that? We are living in dark, dark days. The demon of racism last week stuck its head out in Charlottesville. And then not long after that, the demon of terrorism stuck its head out in Spain. Anybody keeping up on everything that's going on? And it feels like a spirit of hatred and strife is trying to move across the nation. People hating on one another. People pointing the fingers on one another. People hurting one another. How many know that we're living in dark days? Dark, dark days. And so I come to church to remind you, those that call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, I come to remind you that God has made you a light in a dark place. I come to remind you that light is not made for bright days. I come to remind you that light is not made for the day, but light is made for the dark. Light is made for the darkness. As the church of Jesus Christ, God has called us to shine in a dark, dark world. In a dark, dark world. So my encouragement to you as the church of Jesus Christ is not to be consumed by the darkness. My encourage for us today is not to be distracted by the darkness. My encourage for us today is not to be sucked into the darkness and whereby the devil puts out our light. My encouragement today is for us to shine. Shine brighter than ever as the church of Jesus Christ. You're designed to shine. Touch your neighbor and say, shine. You're designed to shine. Your marriage is designed to shine. Your life is designed to shine. You're designed to shine at school. You're designed to shine at work. You're designed to shine in the community. And I think it's very important, particularly because of the darkness that is going on in our world and particularly in our nation, that we remind ourselves of who we are in Christ Jesus. I think it's very important for us to remind ourselves of what Jesus has done in our life. I think it's important for us to remind ourselves of how God is working in us and through us, because if the devil can get you to forget who you are, he can cover up your light. When people forget who they are, they start acting like someone else, who they were not designed to be. And so today I come to church to remind Chapel of Change of who we are as a local community of faith, as a local community of believers. And I want to remind you, Chapel of Change, is that we are not an ordinary church. We're not an ordinary church. We're not a common church. We're not a run-of-the-mill type of church. We're not a commonplace, so-so type of church. We are Chapel of Change. We are Chapel of Change. And I want to remind you of who God has designed you to be. Because if the enemy can get us to forget our identity, then he can get us to act out of our character that God has designed us to be. I love hearing testimonies of our church family sharing with others what church they belong to. And every once in a while, I'm starting to hear more and more testimonies how one of our church family, they'll be at a picnic or they'll be at the park and someone would ask them, they'll say, "What church do you go to?" And they'll say, "We go to Chapel of Change." And that person would respond and said, "I heard about that church." I'm hearing that more and more. People are like posting on Facebook when you put a picture up of Chapel of Change or you're at service and one of your family members is like, "What church you go to? What city is your church going to?" And they'll say, "We go to Chapel of Change." And sometimes they'll be like, "I heard about that church." How many of you know we got a reputation? God has given Chapel of Change a reputation. Touch your neighbor and say, "I heard about you." Yeah, I heard about you. I know that's making some feel uncomfortable, but we're talking about what Jesus has done in your life. "I heard about you." We got a reputation, Chapel of Change. We got a reputation. Today I want to highlight a couple qualities that makes Chapel of Change different. I want to highlight a couple qualities that makes Chapel of Change unique. What type of church are we? What makes us tick? What do we value? What type of church are we as Chapel of Change today? I wrote down some descriptions on what makes us unique. And if you're new here, you came on a good Sunday because I'm going to help you discover what Chapel of Change is all about. And if you're part of Chapel of Change and you forgot, then you need to be reminded this morning on why God has birthed Chapel of Change for such a time as this. I wrote down some notes, and the first one I want to say is that Chapel of Change is a gospel-centered church. We are a gospel-centered church. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, it's right before 2 Corinthians. Chapter 15, that means it's towards the end of 1 Corinthians. Verses 1, when everybody's there, say amen. I hope you brought your Bible to church today. We're a gospel-centered church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, listen to what the apostle says. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received," someone say received, "and on which you have taken a stand," someone say stand. See, we have taken a stand on this gospel. As a church, we stand on the gospel. We not only receive the gospel, but we stand on the gospel. Verse 2, he says, "By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." How many know we got to hold on to the gospel? We got to grasp on to the gospel. You got to hold on to it. You got to hold on to the gospel. You can't just be a fan of the gospel. You got to hold on to the gospel. And then in verse 3, he goes on to describe the gospel. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Mark that word, first importance. In other words, this is important. "That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture." How Christ died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again with all power in his hands. Now let me highlight what the apostle says. He says we received the gospel. He says we stand on the gospel. And then he says we are saved by the gospel. How many know it is the gospel that saves you? Someone, if you're a born-again Christian, right, someone shared with you the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and you received it, and you stood on it, and thereby you are saved because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love what he says in verse 3. He says the gospel is of first importance. First importance. He says the gospel should be foundational to every church that exists. The gospel should be foundational to every church that exists. A church without the gospel is a country club. A church without the gospel is not a church at all. It's a country club. A church without the gospel is a powerless church. For the apostle says in Romans 1 verse 16 that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel that saves us. It is the gospel that delivers us. It is the gospel that made you clean. It is the gospel that made you holy when you responded to that message. The Bible teaches that God sanctified you. He made you holy because it was a result of the gospel. So as a church, we are dedicated and founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I gave you a couple weeks ago, a summary of the gospel. I'm going to give it to you again, and I want to challenge you to memorize this summary, write it down, put it in your Bible, put it on your refrigerator, teach it to your kids, teach it to your grandkids, because this is whereby we are saved. What is the gospel? It is the good news that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sin and triumphantly rose again, that by faith we can become God's family. This is the summary of the gospel. It is the good news, my brother and sister. We have the good news. We have the good news. This ain't no CNN type news or no Fox type of news. This is the good news from heaven, from the throne of heaven. And the church has the solution to the chaos of our society, and it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says the good news that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sin. That means we had death coming. We should have been the one on the cross. We should have been the one that died. We should have been the one that paid the penalty. But Jesus looked down from heaven and said, "No, I love her so much that I'm going to take her place on the cross so that she, by faith, can become part of my family." Jesus took our place on the cross. He died and he triumphantly rose again that we might become the family of God. The gospel transforms us from orphans to sons and daughters of God. I don't care what your status was when you were born into this world. Everybody is born a spiritual orphan. Everybody is born a spiritual orphan. It is the gospel that makes you a child of God. It is the gospel that makes you a daughter of God. It is the gospel that makes you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is the gospel that puts a crown on your head. It is the gospel. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not an inspirational speaker. I'm a gospel preacher. I'm a gospel preacher. I don't come to tell jokes. I don't come to make people feel good. I come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So we are a gospel-centered church. But secondly, we are a Bible-based church. We are a Bible-based church. Some of y'all are trying to discover what Chapel of Change is about. You heard about Chapel of Change, and we're breaking it down. This is what we're about. This is what we value. We are a Bible-based church. Hear me today that we believe that this Bible right here is the inspired word of God. We believe that this Bible right here is the inspired word of God. For the scriptures teach in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all scripture, not some scripture, not just the scripture you like, not just the scripture that you use to prove your point. No, all scripture. Someone say all scripture. All scripture is God-breathed. That means God breathed this into existence. It was inspired by God, that God breathed it, and it is useful for teaching, for rebuking. How many know we got to get rebuked sometimes? If you can't say amen, say ouch. For correcting and training in righteousness. You see, most of us, we were trained in the dark. Most of us, since we were little, or some of us, we weren't trained the right way. But when you come to the foot of the cross of Jesus, and you get become born again, Jesus says, this is the blueprint whereby you retrain your life on how to live, believe, and trust in God. The Bible, my brothers and sisters, is the blueprint for our life. It's the blueprint. If you want God's results, you got to build God's way. If you want God's results, you got to build God's way. The reason why so many people's lives are shaky and wobbly is because they're not building according to the blueprint. They're not building according to the blueprint. The Bible is the blueprint for our life and our faith. It shows us what God wants to see in our marriage. It shows us what God wants to see in our family. It shows us what God wants to see in our lives. It's the Bible. It's the blueprint for our living. And it shows us the way to eternal life. When my life was over in 1994 and my life came crumbling down and I had nothing to my name, my life was over, someone told me, they said, Brian, listen, I'm going to give you the key to rebuild your life. I'm going to give you the key to get your life rebuilt. And you know what they did? They handed me a Bible. And they said, rebuild your life according to the word of God. And if you do, your life will be able to withstand hell and high water. And by the grace of God, I began to rebuild my life according to the blueprint of God's word. And the Lord gave me joy. The Lord gave me peace. The Lord gave me purpose and messed around and gave me a new family by the grace of God. Because I built according to the blueprint. There is supernatural power in God's word. Did you know that? There's supernatural power in God's word. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 says this. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. There's power to heal you in this word. There's power to deliver you in this word. There's power to get your mind right in this word. There's power to set you free in this word. There's power to give you wisdom beyond your peers in this word. I begin to study the Bible, and the word of God begin to do for me what man could not do. Begin to transform me. Not just give me information, but give me transformation. There's power in this word. Did you know that there's supernatural joy in this word too? There's supernatural joy. Jesus says this in John chapter 15. He says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. God wants to give you overflowing joy that will give you the strength to handle whatever it is the devil throws in your life. He wants to give you the joy that will wake you up in the morning in the midst of chaos. He wants to give you joy that'll get you to endure the storms of life. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. How do you get that supernatural joy? The word of God. Thirdly, I wrote down another characteristic of what makes Chapla change who we are. Are you ready for this one? We are intentionally diverse. We are intentionally diverse. We're one of the few, and I emphasize few, churches in all of America that is diverse. One of the few churches. Over 80% of the churches in America are still, to this day, divided by race. Over 80% of the churches in America to this day are still segregated. I don't care how many times they say they love everybody. You can't love everybody if there's only one group of people in your church. You can't do that. Over 80% of the churches. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that an Ice Cube concert can be more diverse than the church? How is it that NWA concert can draw more diverse people than the church? How is it that a club can be more diverse than the church? What have we done to the kingdom of God? What have we done to the body of Christ? Well, I celebrate today that it's not so in Chapel of Change. It's not so in Chapel of Change. God is doing a new thing through Chapel of Change, and we're challenging the culture of the local church. We're challenging the culture because God has made all of us one being in Christ Jesus. And our prayer as a church is that we be a snapshot of heaven on earth. That's our prayer. Our prayer is that we be a colony of heaven on the earth. The church should reflect what heaven is all about. Did you know that? That we should be reflecting a snapshot of heaven. For Jesus said, we are to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Chapel of Change's prayer is to be a snapshot of heaven on earth. And did you know there's no segregation in heaven? Did you know that there's no racism in heaven? Ain't no racist gonna be in heaven unless you repent. There's no brown church. There's no yellow church. There's no purple church in heaven. You know, the Bible gives just a little bit of a picture of what it looks like in heaven. Doesn't give too much. But one picture it does give is in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And God kind of goes out of its way to give us a snapshot on how heaven is gonna be diverse. Listen to what Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says. It says, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne of God. The Lord gives us a snapshot on what heaven looks like. And if you look into heaven, there is a diverse crowd from every tongue, every nation, every culture. And they're together underneath one roof praising one God. And that's how we should be as the local church in this world. We shouldn't have to wait to get to heaven to experience a little bit of heaven on earth. Are you following along? We're going to shine, Chapel of Change. We're going to shine the light of Christ through our diversity. We're going to shine. And we talk about this often, but let me just remind you, our nation is reeling and rocking over the subject of race, and they're going to be looking into the local churches for the answer. They're going to be looking to say, do these people really love everybody like they claim to love everybody? And we ought to be able to tell them, look to us for the model on how to live. We ought to be able to tell them, look to us on the model on how to worship. And so, my brothers and sisters, every time we gather together as a church, every time we worship together, every time we serve together, every time we do life together, we are breaking down the spirit of racism. We're breaking down the spirit of division. We're breaking down the spirit of suspicion. We're breaking down the spirit of division every time we come together. When you bring your kids to Chapel of Change, you are teaching them not to be racist. You're teaching them not to be hating other people. Because you know why? They're up in them rooms right now, and they're all together as one. Blacks, whites, Mexicans, and they're learning about one Jesus, and we're stopping that spirit from jumping on to the next generation. We're doing it now in the name of Jesus. We're doing it now in the name of Jesus. We ain't talking about it. We've been talking about our international festival for a couple months now. Ain't we been talking about that? We had the International Festival on the calendar, I think, for about 6 months to a year already. And now look what's happening in our nation, right? We ahead of the curve already, church. We are ahead of the curve. And so I want to encourage you, let's come out on September 16th and let's celebrate our diversity as the kingdom of God. We are intentionally diverse, but there's something else I wrote down. We are a spirit-filled church. We're a spirit-filled church. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." How many of you know we need the power of the Holy Ghost? We need the power of the Holy Ghost, especially this generation. For somehow the devil has just hoodwinked us, man. He took the power out of the church. I think he took the power out of the church because he stopped us from talking about the Holy Ghost. He took the power out of the church because he got us to stop talking about the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't talk about the Holy Ghost, ain't nobody gonna believe in the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." I'm reminded, Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, right before he was going to ascend into heaven, after 3 years, he taught his disciples about what to do, and he's about to position them to impact the world with the gospel. He says this to them. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." You know what that gift is? That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, "Don't go nowhere." I said, "I don't want you to do nothing. I don't want you to do nothing until you get filled with the Holy Ghost and power." He said, "The Father got a gift for you. Got a gift. He wants you to open up this gift." The old folks, back in the days, the old folks, when you got saved and you came down to the altar, they would tell you, "Don't you leave that altar until you get filled with the Holy Ghost and fire." That's what they used to say. "Don't you even look up. Don't you even look up. You better stay. Keep your head down. And you better close your eyes and open your heart until you get filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let that Holy Ghost burn up all that sin that is inside of us. Let it burn up all that impurity." The problem with us, we took the Holy Ghost out the church. We took the Holy Ghost out the church. And we wonder why when we go laying our hands on the sick, there ain't no power to heal nobody. We wonder why when we go to cast out devils, they begin to beat us up. Because we ain't got no Holy Ghost backing us up. Chapel of Change is a spirit-filled church. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to live this thing out. You weren't designed to live out this Christianity by yourself. You weren't designed to live out this Christianity on your own. That's the reason why most of us give up, is because we try to obey this thing by our own. You can't obey this thing by your own. You need the power of the Holy Ghost burning inside of you. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to stay sober. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to be husbands. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to be wives. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to train up our kids in the way that they should go, because sometimes they get on our nerves, and we need the power of the Holy Ghost to be right there. We can't live this gospel out without the power of the Holy Ghost. We need a fresh feeling, Lord. Fill us up. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says, don't be drunk with wine. Hello, somebody. He said, because that will ruin your life. He says, instead, someone say instead. That means God got an alternative for you. He says, instead, I got an option for you that's better than wine. I got an option for you that's better than Jack Daniels. I got an option for you that's better than Night Train. Hello, somebody. I got an option for you that's better than Coors and Bud Light. I got an option for you that's better than you can put in that bottle. He said, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at this. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That devil is a liar. You know what he did? The devil tried to counterfeit the filling of the Holy Spirit by trying to put something in a bottle. He said, that's why the scripture says don't get drunk with wine. You know why? Because people were falling for the counterfeit power. They were falling. They thought the power was in the bottle. They thought the power was in the bottle. Don't you remember the only time you thought you were Superman was when you were drunk? Don't act like you all the holier than now and you forgot how you used to be. You used to sip on that night train. That was the only time you thought you could jump off a roof. Why is that? Because the enemy tried to counterfeit the real power of God and he tried to put it in the bottle and we fell for the okie doke. That's why the scripture says, don't be filled with wine. Don't fall for the okie doke no more, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was about 18, 19 years old. I said, Lord, fill me up with your Holy Ghost. And I've been running for the kingdom of God ever since. I've been running ever since for the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit touched my heart. The Holy Spirit touched my soul. My wife don't got to tell me to get up and pray. She ain't got to tell me to read my Bible because there's something pumping in my heart. You ain't got to tell me to come to church. You ain't got to tell me to praise God because there's something inside of me, and it's the Holy Ghost that is burning and setting me on fire. If you just open up your heart and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Seek his face. Get into the presence of God. And you'll unleash the power of heaven inside of you. It'll give you dreams. It'll give you vision. It'll give you wisdom. It'll open doors for you. You won't need nobody to pat you on the back. You won't need nobody to send you a text. You won't need nobody to hit like on your Facebook post. Not when you got the Holy Ghost burning inside of you. So we're a spirit-filled church. I got one more thing I wrote down that sets us apart as a church. We love to party. For reals, I wrote that down. This is going to mess up somebody's religious thinking right here. But this is us right here. We love, now hear me out, follow along with me now. I'm going to make some sense. It's going to make some sense after I get done with this. We love to party. Did you know somebody came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, and they said to Jesus, they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, show us what the kingdom of heaven is like. They said, what is the kingdom of heaven like? And you know how Jesus answered? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet. You know what the LBC translation to wedding banquet is? I mean, we cover it up with King James language and we see wedding banquet. Yeah, okay, it is a wedding banquet, but you know what it really is? It's a party. It's a party. Just somebody asks, get this, somebody asks Jesus what the kingdom of heaven is like, and Jesus literally said, it is like a party. It's like a party. Did you know that God loves to party? I bet you never heard that from a pulpit before. God loves to party. Read your Bible. A lot of places in the Bible, you will see either God throwing a party or going to a party. A lot of times, what do you think in the Old Testament all them feasts were about. That's the LBC translation for party. A lot of times in the Bible, you'll see God throwing a party or going a party. In John chapter 2, verse 2, what did they invite Jesus to? They invited him to a party. You don't invite somebody who's going to mess up the party to a party. You invite somebody who knows how to party to a party. Did you know that in heaven, there's going to come a time where God is going to throw the biggest party ever? Did you know that? There's going to come a time in the culmination of times in heaven that God is going to throw the biggest party you ever heard about, because God loves to party and he knows how to party. Listen to what Revelations chapter 19, verse 9 says. Listen to what Revelations 19, 9 says. It says, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb. You know what the LBC translation of that is? That's party. God is going to throw the biggest party in heaven. And he's inviting everybody to his party. You think you know how to party? You don't know how to party like God knows how to party. By the way, now I know why there's so many bars and clubs. Now I know why there's so many bars and clubs. Because again, remember, the devil is a counterfeiter. He does not create anything. He looks to God and he sees the real thing and he says, oh, the kingdom of God is like a party? Well, guess what? I'm going to create this perverted party. I'm going to create this fake party, and I'm going to trick everybody from not going to God's party, but to go to my party. And he perverted the atmosphere of the kingdom of God, and he put it in a bar, and he put it in a club, and he put it in some of these backyard boogies. But God, in heaven, is going to throw the biggest party you ever seen. And he's inviting everybody to his party. But guess what? You cannot crash God's party. You can't just show up unannounced. You're not going to crash God's party. You need to RSVP. You need to RSVP at God's party. And the way that you RSVP God at God's party is you repent from your sins and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and he'll write your name down on that party list, and eventually you'll be partying like you never partied before. People ask, they said, how has Chapel of Change grown so much? How has it grown so much in less than 5 years? This October, we're going to celebrate our fifth year. How's it grown? I remember Chapel of Change at one point in time, we had like 7 people on a Thursday night Bible study. 7 people, I remember, 5 years ago, we had about 7 people at a Thursday night Bible study. Last Easter, we had over 2,000 people at Chapel of Change, from 7 to 2,000 people. Now, we don't get 2,000 people every day, but we still celebrating Easter, amen? How do you go from almost 7 people around there to over 2,000 people? You know how God is building Chapel of Change? Not just because we're gospel-centered, not just because we're Bible-based, not just because we're intentionally diverse, but because we know how to party. We know how to party. We love to party. Chapel of Change loves to party. If there's one thing that Chapel of Change loves to do, it loves to party. And you know, this party atmosphere in the kingdom of God is drawing families, it's drawing men, it's drawing women. Why? Because there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. I want to show you just a couple pictures to just illustrate what I mean. Look at this first picture. This is our King's Men. They throwing a party right there. We got an awesome men's ministry at Chapel of Change. God is raising up men at Chapel of Change. Listen, I love all y'all sisters and I celebrate all your sisters, but I just want you to know there's some men up in the house at Chapel of Change. So if you got a husband that is tripping, or if you got a son that is tripping, you better get them to Chapel of Change somehow. Better trick them or something. Get them to Chapel of Change. I'm going to show you this next picture right here. We threw a party 2 weeks ago in the projects of North Long Beach. We threw a big party, invited all the families, all the kids playing basketball. And let me tell you what this picture is. This is a picture of our pastors cheering with the young girls in the projects. This is our pastor. That's Pastor Laura right there. And that's Pastor Sandy right there. And these young girls, they were cheering. They were getting down. They were cheering, doing all that stuff, right? And we didn't stand back and say, oh, wow, we can't do that. No. We jumped up in them and show them how to party for the kingdom of God. Let me show you this next picture. This picture was last night. I got invited to a quadruple date that went on last night. And they had an awesome, we couldn't go because I was officiating a marriage, but they had an awesome time, man. They were partying together and they were celebrating a birthday without it being a birthday, and they were just having a good time. But I guess what happens at Applebee's stays at Applebee's, right? God is not just working at individuals' lives at Chapel of Change. We celebrate God for the individual, but God is working in families at Chapel of Change. God is drawing whole families unto him through Chapel of Change. God is moving in families. I'm talking about husbands and wives and kids and aunts and theos and theas. God is moving in families. I got one last picture. I want to show you this. This is a picture of our Long Beach camping. They call this chilling and grilling. They be chilling and grilling. Every other Sunday during the summer at 2 o'clock, they chilling and grilling. They're about to chill and grill right now. And they know, this is at our Long Beach campus, they know how to party up in here to the glory of God. Now hear me today. As I close, hear me closely. The problem is not that you like to party. That's not the problem. The problem is you've been going to the wrong party. You've been going to the wrong party. The problem is not that you like to party. I believe God loves to party. That's not the problem. The problem is you've been going to the wrong party. And the devil's party still kills and destroys. I'll never forget Brother Art. He said he got invited to a party when he was 18 years old and didn't get released until he was like 40. Never forget that. See, the devil's party holds you captive. The devil's party don't let you go. The devil party says, come and just get a sip, but you end up chugging it. The devil's party, come, get your foot wet, and you end up slipping in and drowning and breaking your neck. The devil's party don't tell you how it's going to be the next morning. Doesn't tell you how your family's going to be the next month. The devil's party steals, kills, and destroys, but God's party brings life. God's party brings joy. God's party brings peace. God's party brings purpose. God's party brings power. God's party brings healing. God's party brings deliverance. Listen, I'm here to tell you that nobody knows how to party like God knows how to party. And God is inviting you into his kingdom. He's inviting you into his party, but you cannot crash God's party. You got to RSVP. You ain't going to just show up on the door and bang on the window. You got to RSVP. And how do you RSVP? It is by surrendering your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting from your sins, and trusting in him for the rest of your life. God's inviting you to his party. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I want us to reflect upon the Word of God this afternoon. How did God speak to you? And how are you going to respond? The Lord is inviting you to His party. Will you accept the invitation? Let's just bow our heads and our hearts while everybody remains seated for the next couple moments and reflect upon the Word of God. If you're here today and you need to surrender to the Lord either for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, maybe you fell away and today you want to repent and surrender your life to the Lord, I would like to pray with you. I'm going to give you a moment to think if that is you. If you want to respond to the calling of God and surrender to Jesus, today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you need to surrender for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, I'm going to challenge you to take a step of faith and come to this altar so I can pray with you a prayer of surrender. If you need to surrender to Jesus, come to the altar this afternoon. While everybody remains in an atmosphere of prayer and reflection, if there's anybody who needs to surrender to Jesus, come to the altar. I want to pray with you. I see you. Anyone else? If you're up on the balcony and you need to surrender to Jesus, make that walk all the way down to the altar. I see you. Anyone else? Hallelujah. God wants to start something new in your life. He wants to start something new, and He's calling you unto Himself. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to surrender, come to the front. I want to pray with you a prayer of surrender. Anyone else? We'll wait a couple moments. If you're in the balcony, you need to surrender to Christ. Come to the altar. Hallelujah, I see you. Come to the front. Amen. 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 You can come to this side if we could just, you can come to this side. Maybe there's one more. Maybe there's one more. We'll wait for you. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging you, if you felt the presence of God through this message, respond today. Come down today. Don't wait another day. Tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow's not promised. Come to the altar. Amen, amen, amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to make one last more call. This is the last call. If you need to surrender, come to the altar. I see you. Come to the altar. If you need to surrender to Christ, come to the altar. Today is the day of salvation. Come to the altar. There's more room. There's more room for you at the altar. There's room for you at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. There's room for you.
You reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign.
Come to the cross. Come to the altar.
You reign, you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign. Whoa, you reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you reign, you reign. I want to ask that you look at me before I pray for you. I want to look at your eyes for a second. I want to look at your eyes. Today is the day that you are saying by walking up here that you want to surrender to Christ. Is that what you're saying? You want to surrender to Christ. I want to just be very clear. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance and surrender. And the Lord is going to begin to do something new in your life.
Yes.
He's going to wash away the guilt. Wash away the shame. He's going to wash away the regret. The gospel is going to make you new today, and today is going to be the start of your brand new life. Amen. In Christ. Amen. So I'm going to ask from your heart, if you just say this prayer with me. Lord God, I am sorry. I messed up. I have sinned against you. But today, I repent from my sins. I turn back to you and I surrender. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my fears to you. I surrender my regret to you. Come into my heart as my Lord and Savior and help me to serve you, to follow after you in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray for everybody who came up here today, Father God. Oh, Lord God, you know their pain. You know their struggles, Father God. You know what they're going through, Father God. I pronounce healing over her life, Father God. I pronounce healing over her life, Father God. Healing over her life, Father God. In Jesus' name, I speak healing over her life, Lord God. I speak healing over her life, Father God. In Jesus' name, I speak healing over her life, Father God. Lord, restore, Father God. Make whole, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Strengthen them and help them, Lord God. Deliver them, Father God, in Jesus' name. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Fill them, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for our dear mother, Lord. I pray that you bless her, Father God. Strengthen her, Father God. Keep her healthy, Lord God. Give her supernatural joy, Father God. Lord, I thank you for her in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray for my brother, Lord. Strengthen him, Father God. I pray, Father God, for his mind that you protect it, Father God, from any fear and doubt and shame, Father God. I thank you that you're delivering him even now by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for my sister, Father. Lord, you deliver her from regret. Deliver her from shame, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, fill her with your Holy Spirit. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Touch her heart, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. Let's seal this with worship.